David Horner, why the war game? Why game?
When I looked at what the Australian military has been involved in over the last century, I realised that from the time we went to the First World War, which was 1914, through to the time we went to the Iraq War, which was 2003, it was close on 90 years. And in that period of 90 years, we went to war 9 times. Or if we turn it around another way, in the 100 years from 1914 to 2014, we had Australian military operations going on for 45 of those years. And I thought, why is this happening? Is this some sort of game? Now, of course, it's not a game, but I wanted a title, which so I called it The War Game, which would draw attention to what was going on. And people could say pretty quickly, hang on, this is not a game, and that's the point I'm making, this is not a game, but something's going on here, whereby we keep doing this again and again, and there must be some sort of thing you can say about it, something that links it all together.
And your point that a game has rules, it has winners and losers, and the game can be addictive, and for Australia it has been addictive.
Yes, it has been addictive, all those different wars that we've been involved in. And Australians have given a lot of credibility to Australian military activities, you know, Anzac Day and so on. And there's no way in the world that I'd ever want to play down the sacrifice of Australian soldiers fighting at Gallipoli, fighting on the Kokoda Trail. But the fundamental question behind all that is, why were they there in the first place?
And why were they?
And so they've tried to set out in the book why that we've been there. And, of course, every war is different. One of the things that is consistent through all those 9 wars is the involvement as being part of an allied coalition. First World War, Second World War, the British Empire, and the subsequent wars, the US or Western Alliance.
Is that the line that you can draw through these 9 wars from Gallipoli to Iraq? Is that what unites Australia's thinking?
That's certainly one consistent aspect of all those wars that we've been involved in that 90-year period. Although there are slight differences, in the First and Second World Wars, you could say that we fought the wars to help win the war. We made a major contribution on the Western Front in the First World War, and we made a contribution in the Mediterranean in the Second World War and fighting in New Guinea to help win the war. But from a time in the middle of the Second World War, that changed. And all-out commitments from the middle of the Second World War through to the present have not been to help win the war. They've been for political purposes. You could say that from the time we were involved in war from 1943 onwards, if we had not been involved in any of those wars, the outcome would have been the same. In other words,
our weight didn't decide.
Our weight did not decide it. Now, that doesn't automatically mean those commitments were wrong, but it means they're different. It means we've made those commitments for political purposes to win our respect within the alliance. To play our role within the alliance. Now, it may well be that the government came to the decision that the war needed to be fought for other good reasons, but the level of the commitment was such to make sure that we show we're making our contribution to the alliance, but we almost invariably made it a contribution that such that it was not critical as to whether that war was won or not.
What does it say about Australia that this nation, probably one of the safest nations in the world, a nation with its own continent, is so ready, perhaps even eager, to go abroad to fight?
You need to go back into history a fair way here to realise that we had then, we have now, a very large continent, but in the past a very small population, a weak economy in a dangerous world, and the perception was that we were not really in a position to defend ourselves without doing it with the help of an alliance. So we go back to the British Empire. First World War, Second World War, we were relying on the British Empire, Imperial Defence as it was called, for our defence. And that mindset has continued right through to the present. And we do have a problem if we're trying to defend a very large country, like we have, if we're trying to do it all by ourselves.
So that gives us an interest in the global system, in the global balance.
Yes, it does. But it's also a psychological or cultural aspect to this as well, that we have many of the same political and cultural aspects that you'd find in like-minded countries around the world, Britain, the United States, Canada, and so on. And therefore, we're not just within the alliance because it happens to be convenient to us, but also because we feel some affinity towards that alliance.
Is there any tension in this joining of the idea of Australia's defence to this fundamental commitment to the idea of alliance?
The idea of an alliance is such that small countries come together to give themselves greater strength in world affairs. And, of course, the experience, if you go back to the First World War, the British Empire fought the war, not just Britain. And although Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa were much smaller in population than Britain at that time, nonetheless, we did make a major contribution in building up the British Empire's ability to fight the war. So this idea of coming together to give yourself greater strength is one that has been around for a very long time, and is certainly one that we see at the moment with the way NATO has come together with the threat that's going on there in Ukraine at the moment.
In your penultimate chapter on Iraq, you talk about the problems that Australia needs to look at, your conclusion that the failure of the US in Iraq should make Australia think about the US process for going to war, a deeply flawed process, and that Australia should treat any US plan for war with deep suspicion. How does that shape Australia's view of the alliance?
We do have a problem with the alliance, and the problem with the alliance is what access do we have to the strategic decision-making mechanism that is there and is run by the major players in the alliance. And the major player at the moment is the United States. And if the United States says that, look, it'd be a good idea if we went to some particular military operation, the United States has access to a lot of intelligence, we might be inclined to accept the view that the United States knows what it's doing. And the problem with the invasion of Iraq is that the United States intelligence, that their internal intelligence was saying that this was not necessarily a good thing to do, but of course the United States government didn't want to listen to that. And Australia then was persuaded that what the United States government was doing was something that's worthwhile. So we have the problem then if we don't have the proper strategic intelligence gathering mechanism of our own in Australia, we're relying on another country. And if that other country, like the United States, is making decisions that turn out to be flawed, we ought to ask ourselves in the future, how quickly should we be to accept the view that has been put forward in some future operation? We just have to be much, much more cautious about that.
The politics, though, have worked reasonably well for Australia. Australia's political leaders have not paid any particular price for going to losing wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Vietnam. Partly, it would seem, because they held on to the alliance. That the benefit of the alliance seemed to trump the fact that Australia had sent its men and women to losing wars. How does that political equation shape the way Australian leaders think about war?
One of the reasons that many of the governments involved in sending us to those wars continued to get re-elected is what one journalist described as a ruthlessly cynical approach to Australian strategy. What this journalist meant is that the government tried to calibrate the amount of forces that we would send to some particular war such that we got the credit for doing it, but not too much so that we don't have too many casualties. And progressively, since the Korean War right through to Iraq, we've seen this. And the classic example, two classic examples, are the first Gulf War in 1991 and the invasion of Iraq in 2003. In each case, we did not actually have any casualties. And the reason we didn't have casualties is because the government was very careful to calibrate how we would be involved in those wars. So we got credit for doing it and no casualties. And of course, no casualties means less kickback in Australia in the ballot box.
So the voters have been prepared to embrace that ruthlessly cynical or realist view of Australia's use of military force?
So what we have seen is that when we went to Iraq in Iraq in the Gulf War in 1991, there were people demonstrating against it, and we had no casualties. And again, in 2003, we had people in the streets demonstrating, and again, no casualties. Of course, once the war is over and there have been no casualties, the public, those people who'd been critical, seem no longer to have any much influence in the subsequent political debates, because the government could say, well, we did it. We got some credit for doing it with the alliance, and we've boosted the alliance with the United States. That has helped Australian security, and it didn't cost us any lives. So the government got a lot of credit for doing it.
It does, at that level, tend to reinforce the idea of it as a form of game.
Yes, it does. It does reinforce this idea of a game, where you've got to play the game in a careful way to get what you want. And there have been people who have been writing about our invasion of Iraq in 2003, saying that it was highly successful for Australia in that we got credit from the alliance. The United States thought Australia was wonderful to get involved in the invasion. So. It does have in it that aspect of a game. But of course, as we all know, it's not a game. It's a deadly serious business. And of course, it can go wrong, because although we went to Afghanistan with a lot of bipartisan support in 2001, we were back there a few years later, and it went on for years. Then we had Australian casualties, post-traumatic stress disorder, the damage to Australian reputation, and so on.
David Horner, thank you.